2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 in your Bibles. Today's theme for the morning and the evening service has been and is the major players of the tribulation period. We're focusing on those key players that are scripted, that have scripted parts that are very important in the unfolding drama of the last few years of life on planet Earth as we know it. And we're especially focusing tonight on the Antichrist and the false prophet. And of course, we learned this morning that along with Satan, they made up that evil trinity of the tribulation period. And we'll see those two individuals along with Satan here this evening. Now, here's what we're needing to do this evening. We have purpose, Pastor Stone and myself, has purpose to make Sunday evenings a combination of both application and question and answer from the morning subject. And so we're going to be doing both of those things this evening. We're going to look at a little bit of application, and then we are going to field some questions as God would direct. And those are the two things we want to accomplish tonight. Now here's Warren Wall's bluff, the bottom line up front. We need to understand that understanding end-time events gives clarity to me now. The understanding of end-time events is critical to how I view life and approach life and how I respond to situations in life now. So we're going to see some important application from the subject of this morning. And the application we're going to look at is going to answer the question, what difference does the end-time events have in my life? And we're going to see two important, very practical ramifications. We're going to pose them in the form of the questions that you see on the little handout. However, I want to take just a moment. If you look at the very bottom of the handout, there's a little note at the very bottom that says that there are some extra notes available via the QR code. And so if you have a QR reader, then afterwards, after service, you can get that out on the fellowship in the fellowship hall off the coffee bar table. Or if you don't use a QR reader on your smartphone or iPad, then you can email the church and ask for the set of notes, and we'll make sure those get emailed to you. And there's a number of pages that have some references that I'm going to just step through and reference right now that kind of give a backdrop, just a reminder, some of the things about this this Antichrist and this false prophet. A couple of things, a little bit of a biblical survey of the Antichrist, and then a little bit of a couple of thoughts on this evil trinity we learned about this morning, and then we'll move into the practical application. In 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and in verse number 5, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Thessalonica, said, "Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? Don't you remember we talked about this? And I told you all about this when I was there with you?" Now, that was written. The Apostle Paul went and started this church at Thessalonica. He wrote this book, his second letter to the church in Thessalonica, long before the book of Revelation was written. And what he was mentioning and reminding them, hey, we talked about this when I was with you, was the Antichrist. When you look at the context in verse number 3 and verse number 4 and down through some of this chapter, he's talking and describing the Antichrist of the tribulation period. And he's talking about him as the man of sin, the son of perdition, how he opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, that is worshipped. He talks in verse 4 how he's going to set himself up in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. He says, don't you remember we talked about this when I was with you? And then he went on to talk about how the Holy Spirit is holding back the desire of Satan to bring the Antichrist to the forefront of world history, and how that one day the influence of the Holy Spirit as we know it today and as working through the salt, the Spirit indwelt believers, you and I, as salt and light that are working in our world, preserving our world from evil, shedding the light of the gospel, and we are a influence holding Satan back from doing everything that he wants to do. But one day, Jesus is going to catch us all away, we learned about a couple weeks ago, and then Satan is going to have a free reign on earth, and he's going to bring this Antichrist to the forefront, and then Jesus eventually will destroy him. And so he's talking all about this to the church at Thessalonica, and he says, don't you remember, we talked about this when I was there with you. Which really brings a question to my mind, a reality and a realization and a question. The realization is the person of the Antichrist was well known, taught and talked about long before the book of Revelation was written. And that brings a question to my mind, other than the fact that I know the Holy Spirit inspired and just gave truth, revealed truth as He inspired men to write down the truth. But a lot of times, what they wrote down was Spirit-directed, Spirit-inspired, but some of the information they knew from their Old Testament scriptures. They knew from the past. And God brought them to mind and had them write them down. And I would ask the question, this preaching and teaching about the Antichrist that seemed to be common in Paul's day, that he had talked to these new believers, he had taught about end time events, he had talked about the Antichrist to this brand new church that he planted. How did he know all about that? Where did he get all of that? So my mind started going, and I started wondering, where in the Bible are we told about the Antichrist? And of course, that takes you to some very key places in the Bible, primarily the book of Daniel. And God told us an awful lot about the Antichrist in the book of Daniel. Now, if you were to get the notes that are attached to the handout that you have in front of you, there are a few other pages that are attached to that that you can get with the QR reader or by email in the church office, and we'll send them to you. And what I did is I went through the book of Daniel, chapters 7, 8, 9, and 11, and I recorded the verses where the Antichrist is introduced in Daniel chapter 7, Daniel chapter 8, Daniel chapter 9, Daniel chapter 10, and chapter 11, chapter 9 and 11, and just highlighted, listed some of the key things that God revealed to the prophet Daniel, that old preacher Daniel, and revealed to him, and that he wrote down in the book that bears his name. And when we finally get to the book of Revelation, we see a bigger picture, but it's built on the foundation of all that was given in the book of Daniel. And so, makes it for a wonderful study. You may want to go through and read through some of those passages, as I did, and with that little list, and you can look at some of the things that were told in the book of Daniel. And then, not only Daniel, but Jesus Christ told us about the Antichrist. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus quoted Daniel and made reference to this Antichrist. And then we have in the passage we just mentioned here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we find this individual, a Satan-inspired, deceitful, arrogant human being that will rise to the forefront of all the world and will lead the world in a revolution against God. And so we learn some things about the Antichrist in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And then if you'll turn with me to 1 John. John is the man that God used to record 1st, 2nd, 3rd John and Revelation, also the Gospel of John. But in 1st John, which he wrote before he wrote the book of Revelation, John mentions the Antichrist in chapter 2, verse 18. So 1st John chapter 2, verse 18, John says, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Notice that, as ye have heard. The teaching about the Antichrist was common amongst the New Testament churches. New believers were taught end time events and taught about the Antichrist during that first generation of church planting and the world evangelism. And so John, writing to these believers, says, as you've heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. And John mentioned how that even before that final Antichrist is thrust upon the scene, that there are many Antichrists. We're reminded throughout human history, Satan has tried to bring to the forefront a world leader who would unite the world against God and give him an opportunity to try to dethrone God, destroy God's work, destroy God's people, and take over the control of God's world. Satan has been for thousands of years trying to accomplish that. And back in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where we were a moment ago, he said that, the mystery of iniquity is already at work trying to bring this all to be. And now John says that that there are many antichrists in this process. And you know, from if you've been around a long time as an adult, if you've been in church, if you've been aware of Bible prophecy, you know that every generation presents the human people alive in their generation who they think are the antichrist. And they'll talk about this person and that person, Hitler and Mussolini. And if you Google antichrist and Barack Obama, you'll find there's a lot of people out there that are posting all kinds of things because they think Barack Obama is the antichrist. It's always been that way. It was that way when John wrote the believers in 1 John. It'll be that way until God decides to bring everything to closure on earth. Someone said that there are two main mistakes that prophecy teachers and preachers make regarding prophecy. Number one, it's to set the date of the Lord's return. And number two, it's to identify who the Antichrist is. And there have been people that have tried to set the date and have said this has got to be the Antichrist, it's Kissinger, because if you take the Hebrew letters of the name Kissinger and add up all the numbers and of all the letters of Kissinger, you end up with 666 or something like that. So it's got to be Kissinger. I remember hearing that back years and years and years ago. And so there's always been, always will be, proponents of a certain human being that's got to be the Antichrist. The reality is, up until that Antichrist hits the public stage, Satan has all kinds of human beings opposed to Christ. Leaders, political leaders who are trying to defy Christ, who are trying to lead a world to dethrone God and to unite in a great, massive, global environment in which they can attack God and try to dethrone Him. And so we finally get to the book of Revelation, and turn with me to Revelation chapter 13. Here is the grand and glorious culmination, the book of Revelation, in outlining what this work of the Antichrist is all about. And Revelation chapter 13 gives us some really important information about the Antichrist. We see him in chapter 6, as was mentioned, Pastor Snow mentioned this morning. See him in chapter 11. But chapter 13 is where it seems that God pulls back the curtain of the stage to reveal the Antichrist in all of his depravity and the horrible nature of his person and his character. And we're also introduced, as we heard this morning, to the false prophet completing the evil trinity of the tribulation period. I want you to look just at a couple of verses. Verse number 3. And verse number 4, and then this will kind of bring us into our application. Verse number 3 of chapter 13, I saw one of the heads as were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Now I want you to stop and think about that for a moment. All the world wondered after the beast. This individual is so powerful. Well, when you study through all of the information, there's a lot of information in the Bible about this Antichrist. In the book of Daniel, in the book of Revelation primarily, in the book of 2 Thessalonians. And this individual, he's good looking, he's strong, he is intelligent, he is convincing, he is a powerful person to reckon with. He has tremendous ability to speak. Oratory, thank you. I don't have that. So he had great skill and ability. This is going to be an individual that the world is going to be in awe over. They are going to drool over this guy. This guy is totally unbelievable. What he is able to accomplish, what he does, leaves the world spellbound. And they're going to fall at his feet. Verse number 4 said, and they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? And who is able to make war against him. His military might, Daniel describes that he has such a sense of appreciation for military power, for force. He is going to use his great wealth to amass a world military force that is second to none and has never been known on the face of the earth. He is going to have the power to do anything he wants militarily. He is going to be a force to be reckoned with, and the world, it is going to fall at his feet and say, "Wow, you are awesome. You are great. Who could compare to you? Who could ever make war against you? You are everything. You're what we've longed for. You can solve all of our problems. We will worship you. You are God to us." And the world is going to bow at his feet and worship him. It is going to be an amazing, amazing time here in this world when the Antichrist hits center stage with his sidekick, the false prophet. And by the way, religion, it'll only be appreciated for the ability to use it for the purpose of the Antichrist. Religion is not there because it's believed. It's there because it's used to control people. Religion has been used in that way for a long, long time. So we got this great globalism. Do we realize and understand the power of globalism, the power of this one world effort, this merging of nations, this putting together of the peoples of the world under the leadership of the Antichrist and the whole world wandering after him. Globalism, if you watch the news or are aware of what's going on in the news, you know globalism is huge. President Bush pushed it. I believe his dad pushed it. It's been pushed by all of our recent presidents. Globalism, the idea of globalism, is something that is accepted today as is just a given, that everybody of any intelligence is for globalism. Let me read a quote. I found the quote in a book written by Paul Chappell. He is quoting, this goes back a little ways, this goes back to 2009. He's quoting a report from the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security back in April of 2009. And I want you to listen to what this report from the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security says. By the way, let me say this. A lot of you work for the government, and a lot of you work for the military, and we need to realize, just because something is said that is negative toward the government, that doesn't address you as an individual. There are powers that be in our government and in our military and in our country that hate Jesus Christ and want to get rid of him. And that's just the reality. That's the world in which we live. And it's going to get worse and worse unless God sends a great revival. And that's nothing about anybody that works in those organizations. If you work for the military, if you serve in the military, I'm going to read here just a statement, a moment that came across my desk 2 days ago from the military. And my reading that is not a slap in the face to any of our people that serve in the military or in any other department of the government. But we need to realize what's going on. This is from from 2009, the report, the name of the report was Extremist Report. Returning veterans possess combat skills and experience that are attractive to right-wing extremists. The Department of Homeland Security, INA, is concerned that right-wing extremists will attempt to recruit and radicalize returning veterans in order to boost their violent capabilities. The dissolution of communist countries in Eastern Europe and the end of the Soviet Union in the 1990s led some right-wing extremists to believe that a new world order would bring about a world government that would usurp the sovereignty of the United States and its constitution, thus infringing upon their liberty. So if you believe there's going to be a one world government, and if you believe your Bible, you believe there's going to be one world government, and it's going to infringe upon the sovereignty of the United States. And if you believe that, I want you to understand that report called you an extremist. That report said you are a right-wing extremist because you believe there's going to be, at some point in the future, a one world government. Now, that's the way things are viewed. It is viewed by people in some people in high positions in our government that globalism is the great. It needs to come. We need globalism to happen in our world. And if you are against a one world globalism, then you are an extremist. I read, I shared as a couple, about 2 weeks ago, and then I just got this update, came across my desk a couple of days ago. This comes from a U.S. Army Reserve training presentation. I'm looking for the name of it. The name of it was the briefing was given in Pennsylvania at the U.S. Army Reserve Equal Opportunity Training briefing given to the Army Reserve Unit in Pennsylvania, entitled Extremism and Extremist Organizations. And the briefing that was given gave a list of extremist organizations in the United States, and the briefing was for the purpose of warning those who were receiving the briefing to be wary of right-wing extremists and just any extremist groups here in America. And they listed a number of them. They listed the Muslim Brotherhood, the KKK, the Nation of Islam, Al-Qaeda, Hamas. But do you know what the number one group was on the list? The number one group on the list was evangelical Christians. That was the number one extremist group on the list of extremist hate groups, that they were being warned, as military individuals, being warned that you've got to be careful about these evangelical Christians. And this that just hit my desk, I think, yesterday. Members of Congress have expressed astonishment that the U.S. Army Reserve would use a training briefing that slams evangelicals, Christians, and others, and are demanding that the practice come to a halt now. Quote, our nation needs to have an honest conversation about religious extremism and what we can do to avoid religious violence. However, labeling these major world religions as extremists is wrong and hurtful. And Representative Doug Lamborn, Republican from Colorado, was signed by dozens of other members. I believe, if I remember correctly, I saw that our Frank Wolf was amongst the long list of ones who signed the letter to the members of Congress, members of Congress to the Army, saying this cannot be tolerated, America. You cannot say evangelicals are extremist hate groups that we have to be careful of. But what's behind it is those who believe the Bible believe that globalism is not good, that globalism is predicted in the Bible. It's coming. It will come. And it's something that is not something that is to be received in a good way. And so we live in a world where there's this antichrist, this merging together of all nations, this one world, this globalism is going to become more and more in the news and to be reckoned with. Now let me look at the couple of pieces of application here that I just were on my mind with regards to the subject that we're looking at today, dealing with the Antichrist, the false prophet, the evil trinity, and so forth. Two practical considerations. Number one, what do you admire? What do you admire? Look at verse number 4 again. The end of the verse says, who is likened to the beast? One of the things, when I study the Antichrist and when I read all the passages of Scripture that deal with the Antichrist, one thing that comes out very loud and clear is that the Antichrist will be worshipped because he is so successful. Matters not that he's against God. Matters not that he's killing anyone who follows Jesus Christ. Matters not that he is a forceful individual forcing his way upon the world. Matters not any of that. He's successful. He is doing things no one else has been able to do before. He's solving problems that no one has been able to solve before. And so the world is in awe over this individual. And as I read those passages of Scripture about how the world wonders after the beast, how they worship the beast, and then I remembered all the places in the Bible where the Bible says, who is like unto our God? Exodus 15:11, who is like thee among the gods, O Lord? Who is like thee, majestic in holiness? Psalm 35, Lord, who is like thee? Isaiah 40, to whom shall we liken you, God? Isaiah 40, to whom will you liken me, says the Holy One. And over again throughout the Bible, we see God's people in awe of our God saying, who is like our God? And the reality is that during the tribulation period, the world is going to say that very thing of the Antichrist. Who is like unto thee? You see a real conflict here, a contrast, maybe I should say, of those who are so caught up with the reality of who God is that we, from our heart, say, God, you are so awesome. Who is like unto you? And then the Antichrist comes along and the whole world falls at his feet and cries out, who is like unto you? And I'm reminded that people follow who they're impressed by. I'm impressed by Jesus Christ. I'm impressed by my God. And from my heart I cry out, who is like unto you, God? But you know, there's a world that's going to fall at the feet of the Antichrist, and they're going to say, we've never seen someone so strong and good-looking and suave and convincing and powerful and can do what you can do and can speak like you speak. Who is like unto the Antichrist? And they're going to worship him. And they're going to worship Satan, who gives him his authority and his power. And I'm reminded in that who I'm impressed with is who I stand back and say, who is like unto thee? This has broad ramifications. For the teenager, it will impact whose poster is on their walls. For the single, it'll impact who they marry. For the citizen, how they vote. I mean, what impresses us? Does success impress us? The world is going to be so impressed with the success of the Antichrist that it matters not that he is Antichrist. They're going to fall at his feet because he's so successful, and they're going to worship him. And I'm reminded on a practical note that I've got to be careful who impresses me. I got to be careful what I am impressed by that would cause me to say, wow, there's nobody like so-and-so. And that's something that I've got to be conscious of. And then another matter of practical application. In verse number 7, if you come down to verse number 7, it's given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. This is the Antichrist during the tribulation period, the latter half of it. And he will have great power given to him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. I mean, he's going to be a force to reckon with all over the world. All that dwell, verse 8 says, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Those followers of Jesus Christ won't worship him, but everyone else is going to worship him. And he's going to be killing the saints. He's going to be making war against the saints. He's going to be so successful that everyone is amazed that some people wouldn't follow him. Some people won't worship him. How can you not worship him? He is so successful. He solved the Arab-Israel conflict in the Middle East. He was able to bring together and solve ecological problems. He's able to solve economic problems. He's able to... How could you not be impressed by the Antichrist? But there will be some followers of Jesus Christ who will know who he is. And they will not say, who is like unto thee? Because they're not driven by success as that which impresses them. They're more driven by truth and character. Young people, could I say to you, be impressed with truth, not success. Be impressed with character, not popularity or accomplishment. That's a practical lesson I learned from the Antichrist, that the world is going to worship him because he's successful. Except those followers of the Lamb who don't worship him. And the Bible says, if any man have an ear to hear, let him hear. Boy, that's a wake-up call, isn't it? That's a... Listen to this. Get this. Get this. Can you get this? Listen. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. God says, let me get your attention. Do you have an ear to hear? Are you able to listen? Then listen to me. When the Antichrist enslaves followers of the Lamb, please know this. He that leads into captivity will be put into captivity. He that kills with the sword, when the Antichrist's armies murder our future brothers and sisters in Christ, he that killeth with the sword will be killed with the sword. Now you say, why did God want to get our attention and say that to us? Why did God knock on the... said, hey, listen up. You have an ear to hear? Listen to me. Look at the next phrase and you'll see why. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. What do you mean? Hold up. What do you mean? You see, it's looking real bad for Christians on earth about now. The Antichrist killing the followers of the Lamb. Looking really bad for believers. They're being thrown in jail. They're being put to death. They're being persecuted by the Antichrist. Everywhere he is at work and trying to stamp out Christianity and stamp out the Jews and try to dethrone God and take over. And Satan is just working through this Antichrist and false prophet. And then God says, of those believers who are living in a time... I mean, this would be like being a Jew in Nazi Germany. He says to those who during the tribulation are being attacked and put to death, he says to them, this is your patience. This is your faith. To know that the one who is putting you into jail will one day be put in jail. And the one who is killing you with the sword will one day be killed with the sword. This is your patience. The word patience means endurance. It means the ability to not quit. It means the ability to keep on keeping on. The practical question is, what keeps you going when everything's going wrong? And the answer is the knowledge that the Antichrist loses and we win. That's what Pastor Stone preached this morning. The devil's got his day coming. And this is the endurance, the patience of Christian people. It's to realize and understand that we have read the last chapter. And so those believers in the tribulation period will be able to keep on going and not lose faith and throw in the towel, because they will remember that Satan only has a short season. And then they win. Revelation chapter 20, we heard it this morning read, where the false prophet, the beast, the devil, they're all going to be cast in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. And then we see in Revelation 11 that the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of Christ and of our Lord, of His Christ. We shall reign forever and ever. Truth wins over success. The Lord wins over the Antichrist. The followers of the Lamb win over the persecutors of the Christians. And the knowledge of that will keep them going on during difficult times. So, what would we say about all that? We would simply say this. During the tribulation period, in the worst of times, in the greatness, the greatest of the persecution and the martyrdom and all the horrible things, the believers will be able to keep on keeping on merely by remembering the reality that they win. Now, if that's true of them, that's true of me. And what I have to contend with isn't even worth measuring or comparing to what these followers of the Lamb are going to endure under the treatment of the Antichrist in the tribulation period. And if it'll work for them then, it'll work for me now. The reality that we win is the patience of the saints in every generation. And so two simple questions. What do you admire? And what keeps you going? And both of those practical questions are answered here in chapter 13, speaking of the life of Christian people during the tribulation period.